Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome my colleagues, Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, keeping the long war journal, and Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now at the Hudson Institute, a Senior Fellow, to comment on recent news about Afghanistan and the withdrawal from Afghanistan in the middle of 2021. The CBS News headline reads this way: Biden administration blames Trump in part for chaotic Afghanistan withdrawal. Reuters takes another version of the report, which we do not have. It's classified. We just have remarks by the administration. Reuters writes, Biden Afghanistan report mostly blames Trump for chaotic U.S. withdrawal. Gentlemen, a very good evening to you. What we have of the report is very little, just comments by the White House speakers, especially John Kirby, who speaks for the National Security Council. Mr. Kirby says that the Trump administration had negotiated an even earlier May 2021 withdrawal date. The date that we know is history is August 2021. And it had, the Trump administration also ordered a series of U.S. troop reductions that left the Taliban in a strong position. There was, quote, a general sense of degradation and neglect there that President Biden inherited. Bill, I start with you because you documented the provinces as they tumbled into Taliban hands that last year, year and a half of the war. Was there any surprise of what was happening to the Biden administration? Were there shocks to them that they didn't know until they took office? Did they not refer to your map? Good evening to you, Bill.
Good evening, John. Yes, they should have known. It was clear what was happening. Look, if I could do this from my office with limited responsibilities and document the security situation in the 407 districts in Afghanistan and track the Taliban strategy without classified information, there's no reason that the Department of Defense, the State Department, the CIA, and whoever else was interested in the security situation in Afghanistan shouldn't have known. The Biden administration, look, first of all, it conducted a self-review of its strategy of withdrawal and the execution of its strategy to withdraw from Afghanistan, and shockingly found no problems with it, really. But instead, it's just going to blame the other guy, which I agree. The Trump administration's deal with the Taliban was terrible. I think at this point, John, you know, if a bad batch of coffee is made at the White House, the Biden administration is going to blame Trump. They really need to, you know, stop letting Trump live rent free in their head and take responsibility for their own actions. And the reality is the Biden administration's withdrawal was disastrous. They were not obligated to live up to this deal. They could have circled back and redoubled efforts to support the Afghan government. Or if it was hell-bent on withdrawing, it could have slowed it down and given the Afghan government and military the resources to consolidate itself into areas of Afghanistan that it could hold and fight the Taliban and give it a fighting chance. But what it did was ensure disaster. It was very clear what was going to happen. John, I think I said it on your show. I predicted that the Afghan government would fall by the end of the summer of 2021. My prediction was a little bit early, by about 5-6 weeks. It collapsed on August 15th. How did I see this? And the administration was telling, and the Department of Defense and the CIA was telling us the Afghan government had 2-3 years at the onset. It's absurd. The entire thing is absurd. The administration needs to take responsibility, but as we've seen, it never will.
Mr. Ambassador, the negotiation in Doha, Qatar, between the Taliban and the United States took place over 2020, and the agreement was signed in February 29, 2020, right before the pandemic bit and made everyone under pressure to get anything done whatsoever. But at the time, what was the opinion in Pakistan? What was the opinion in the region of this agreement signed in Doha? Was it said to be a possibility, or was it regarded as a disaster?
Well, John, first of all, we must understand that Pakistan's government at the time, led by former Prime Minister Imran Khan, just did not mind the Taliban returning to power. In fact, Imran Khan celebrated the Taliban's return to power by saying that they had broken the shackles of slavery. The Pakistani intelligence service had long supported the Taliban, and the Pakistani military had prepared for that eventuality because they thought that this would secure Pakistan against India. And they thought that the Taliban was the rise of the Taliban was a smaller price to pay. They supported the Taliban throughout the war. So let us just reframe that question. If the question is, what did I think? I was very critical because I was amongst those who thought that the return of the Taliban would be a disaster for Afghanistan. And it was all but clear to all of us that the Doha deal paved the way for the return of the Taliban. Anybody who understood anything about Afghanistan, its history, its patterns of the past, as well as the on-ground situation like Bill Rojo and his colleagues were monitoring, it was very clear that the Doha deal was seen as an American abandonment of Afghanistan. It became clear that the Americans had no intention of staying behind. And not only were they not going to stay behind, they were not going to even help the Afghan government put up a decent fight with a decent chance. So given that background, I think that it really doesn't matter what Pakistan thought at the time. What really mattered was that Americans had, as a whole, made the decision that Afghanistan was not worth fighting for. There were oversimplifications in the way of thinking. President Trump's way of thinking was, who cares about Afghanistan? President Biden's way of thinking also was that I am not going to let our young men and women go and fight in a distant land for the rights of the women of that country. Whereas that's not what this fight was about. This fight was about keeping America safe and making sure that no country becomes a safe haven for terrorism. And Afghanistan has become a safe haven for terrorism. So I would say the Trump administration was wrong in signing the Doha agreement and getting into talks with the Taliban and taking their promises at face value. And the Biden administration was wrong for executing a deal that it could actually have rewritten or refused to abide by.
Bill, let's do some numbers here. John Kirby, that's all we have. We don't have the documents themselves. They're still classified. We can presume that Congress will give us more information. But right now, John Kirby reports, this is CBS News, when President Trump took office, there was more than 10,000 American troops in Afghanistan. He, meaning President Trump, took it down to 2,500. He, meaning President Trump, negotiated the release of 5,000 Taliban prisoners that were being held by the Ghani government without consultation with the Ghani government. Those numbers, Bill, as I recall, as the U.S. reduced its footprint in Afghanistan, that did not lead to overwhelming advance by the Taliban. I think the significance of American presence was the firepower. It was that last withdrawal that saw the Taliban accelerate, is my memory. Help me, Bill. Was the Taliban moving against the 10,000 and then the 2,500, or were they staying outside of Kabul?
John, your memory is 100% correct. While the Taliban certainly see the boost from, and I want to be clear, that deal was terrible, and we criticized it numerous times on your show and elsewhere, Tom Joslin and I, and Ambassador Haqqani, and a select few. There was only a few of us who were really talking about this and explaining how bad this was for Afghanistan. But despite that, and again, I tracked the security in the districts, the Afghan government was still able to hold off the Taliban. The Taliban controlled rural districts. That was important to the Taliban, but they were not controlling and only in some cases contesting the more built up areas. They didn't control provincial capitals. The Taliban launched its offensive once the U.S. began the withdrawal. And it wasn't just the withdrawal of U.S. combat troops, John, as you remember. Once the U.S. was leaving, the maintenance for the Afghan Air Force and for Afghan military equipment, if they didn't have the guarantee of U.S. security, they had to leave. So all of the foreign maintainers, the contractors had to leave Afghanistan. So it wasn't just the withdrawal of U.S. combat power. It was that withdrawal of the maintenance teams that kept the Afghan military, particularly the Afghan Air Force, which is what kept the Taliban at bay. And once they began withdrawing, the Taliban launched its offensive. So for some numbers, once the U.S. announced its withdrawal, the Taliban, the control of districts doubled within 2 months. And the number of contested districts actually dropped because they took control of those contested districts. That happened under the Biden administration. And you'll never hear Kirby mention any of that, because that would be a narrative that this administration doesn't want to give.
The Department of Defense says there are no plans to release the classified documents. So all we have is speculation. We're going to turn to today what this means, this document and the state of Afghanistan, especially because, as the ambassador mentions, Imran Khan, prime minister at the time of the withdrawal, at the time of the Doha agreement, did not fiercely oppose the Doha agreement. So what is Imran Khan's position today, given that he apparently is campaigning to return to the premiership in Pakistan, which was the conduit for much of the supplying, all of the supplying that was rolling into Afghanistan when the U.S. was there? Bill Rajo, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now a senior at the Hudson Institute. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batten.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? WashableSofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabay Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slipcovers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out WashableSofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabay sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change, and certain restrictions may apply.